whatever request is in front of you. And so you in that way are considering evidence that's presented to you. Evidence comes from a bunch of different places. It is first from staff, who will tell you what it thinks about whether the applicant has met or not met the burden in front of them by competent substantial evidence, which I'll explain. It comes from the form of residents, but residents who may also have some area of expertise. So a resident can provide competent substantial evidence if they are a realtor and the issue involves valuation of real estate. They are an appraiser, same issue, a surveyor, an engineer, and so forth. They are residents, but they also are experts in their own right. And if they provide testimony under oath on the given issue, that can be competent and substantial. Here's what's not. An opinion. I don't like it. It's going to devalue my home with no evidence except I feel that way. I don't think it's safe, etc. So evidence requires testimony that is supported by the person who's giving the testimony as someone qualified to give it. By law, your staff is considered competent and substantial evidence because they are, depending on the issue, a fire chief, a police chief, a public utilities person, or a planner who's an AICPA, Institute of Certified Public Planners, or whatever it's called. So all of those mix evidence. And so frequently, and I know I'm going a little deep here, but just to be sure, people think wrongly that the issue can be decided by I have a petition with X number of signatures. That's not evidence, and it's not to be considered. So that's the difference in between the and legislative and quasi-judicial. If, and this is where the disclosure comes in, any of you have spoken to the applicant, the neighbors of the applicant, or somebody else outside of these proceedings about the issue, you have to disclose before you start hearing additional testimony and voting what you heard and who you heard it from, because the idea is to give those who are on either side of the issue the opportunity, if they wish to take it up, to question you about what you learned and how it may affect your decision making. If I'm the developer of a project and I don't know that you've talked to someone else who thinks this is an unsafe project, I don't know to ask you about that. So it's not fair to judge me on something I've never even known that you had in your mind. So it's not because it's a bad thing. That's the difference between quasi-judicial and judicial. Judges can't talk to you at all outside of the courtroom. But it's so that the people who are going to still have their fates decided here have the opportunity to know what you talked about and who you talked about it with, so they can address it with you if they think you've been misinformed or need additional information. So with that, this is the appropriate time for each one of you. If you've spoken to anyone about any of this particular matter, and it'll be the same on the next one, and to disclose who you spoke with and what about.
Thank you very much, Cliff. Based upon what our attorney just told us, does any member of our council have any questions of him?
No.
No. Okay. Moving forward, Cliff, if you would please read Ordinance 2025-04, that's item 9A, by title only.
Yeah, Ordinance 2025-04, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponsonlet, Volusia County, Florida, rezoning and changing the zoning map designation of a portion of real property located on the west side of South Peninsula Drive between Calumet Avenue and Inlet Harbor Road, totaling 0.57 acres, more or less, from Conservation C to low-density single-family residential R1, providing for findings and intent, repealing all conflicting ordinances, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you, Cliff. And on agenda item 9A, does anyone here have a disclosure to make?
No.
Okay. So then, Mike?
Yeah. Darren Clear will present this item.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Council. This presentation, since there are two separate ordinances, this presentation will account for both pieces of property. The one has a current single-family home on it, and the one adjacent to that to the north is vacant.
If I may, would it be appropriate then for Cliff to read by title only the ordinance? If this presentation is for both agenda items, would it be appropriate then for you to read the ordinance of 9B by title only?
If the evidence is going to be equally applicable to both, then yes.
Is that what you just represented?
It'll be. I'll be talking and discussing them both, but they are somewhat different.
Okay. All right. Ordinance number 2025-05, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, rezoning and changing the zoning map designation of a portion of real property located on the west side of South Peninsula Drive between Calumet Avenue and Inlet Harbor Road, totaling 0.46 acres, more or less, from Conservation C to low-density single-family residential, R1, providing for findings and intent, repealing all conflicting ordinances, providing for severability, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Does anyone have a disclosure on item 9B?
No.
No. Okay. Darren?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. The request before you is two applicant or two parcels. The request approval is approval to amend the official zoning map designation for parcel one, located at 4784 South Peninsula Drive, and parcel two, that's the vacant parcel adjacent to the north of that, and that would be from C, conservation, to R1, low density single family. This is the location map showing both subject parcels south of Calumet and north of Inlet Harbor Road. Parcel 1 and Parcel 2 are located adjacent to each other on the west side of South Peninsula, north of Inlet Harbor, and southwest of Calumet Drive. Parcel 1 consists of 0.57 acres and is developed with a 2,300-square-foot single-family home constructed in 1954. Parcel 2 is 0.46 plus or minus acres in size and is currently vacant. The existing future land use and zoning, parcel one and parcel two, have a future land use designation of low density single family residential. But however, they have a conflicting zoning designation of C, conservation. Parcels to the north, south, east, and west surrounding these properties have a future land use designation of low density residential. However, they are zoned R1. The proposal for these two properties, based on the current use of Parcel 1 and the planned future use of Parcel 2 and the existing residential uses, will be R1 as well, as that is the most compatible zoning designation. And this is your current zoning map showing those two parcels surrounded by the R1 zoning. And this is your adopted future land use map showing the low density residential. Some historical context of this area. In 1977, the future land use designation of Parcel 1 and Parcel 2 and adjacent properties on South Peninsula Drive in that area were established with the adoption of the town's first comprehensive plan as conservation. Then in that same year of 1977, the town adopted the official zoning map. Properties in that area were rezoned to a combination of conservation and R1AA single family residential. That conservation zoning was utilized as a holding zone for future development. Then in 2011, parcels on the west side of South Peninsula Drive, adjacent to these two parcels, were rezoned from conservation to R1, low-density single-family, and the future land use was changed from conservation to low-density single-family residential. Ordinance 2015-01 and 2015-02, the Inlet Harbor subdivision properties located on the north side of Inlet Harbor Road were amended from conservation to low-density single-family residential on the future land use map, and were rezoned from conservation to R1. 2017, the future land use map adopted shows these two parcels and properties south of Calumet and north of Inlet Harbor, as well as they are as the R1 zoned Inlet Harbor properties. All of those were shown as a future land use of low density single family residential. These requests have met all of the 8 review criteria that are established part of your land use and development code. And I'll just highlight a few of those.
second. Nope. I think I hit something. Yeah, if you could go back one. One, whether it's consistent with the adopted elements of the comprehensive plan. The proposed zoning designation of R1 is more compatible with the adopted LDR future land use category. This criterion has been met. Go two more. One more. Its impact upon the economy of the affected area. Parcel one is currently a single family home that has existed on that parcel for over 70 years. Parcel two will be developed as a single family residence. The rezoning will have no impact upon the economy of the surrounding single family residential area. This criteria has been met. Go to the next one. And one more, please. Any mistakes in the original classification other than reclassifications due to an inadvertent boundary errors, including clerical scrivener's errors, which may be corrected administratively. When the town adopted its first official zoning map in 1977, subject parcels and surrounding parcels were rezoned to a combination of conservation and R1AA. Conservation designation at that time was intended to be a holding zone until future development occurred. Rezoning the parcels to R1 will allow the property to be compatible with the future land use designation of low-density single-family residential. This criteria has been met. Its impact upon the public health, welfare, or safety. Existing single-family residential home will not impact public welfare or safety, and the rezoning parcel 2 will not impact it as well, whether left vacant or developed. This criteria has been met. And that's just a few of the 8 criteria they had met that I just ran through. So with the recommendation that your planning board met on April 22nd, 2025, and voted 5-0 to recommend approval of the zoning map amendment. Staff also recommends approval as all the criteria per code have been met.
Thank you so much. First, I'd like to know whether any of our council members has any questions for our director. Any questions? Joe?
Either lot, are they, I think I read somewhere they were approximately a quarter acre each. Is that correct?
One is 0.57. That's the one that's developed. And the one to the north of it is 0.46. So both about a half an acre.
So are they viable building lots at this point in time with that? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you, Joe. Skip.
Yeah. One question. The vacant lot that is not built upon currently, that's not wetlands, correct?
Right. No, it's not wetlands.
All right. The other question I have, when the rezoning was done, a request in 2011 or 2015, moving the other parcels, it stated in here that these two parcels were not part of the application. Did they just not want
yes.
to be a part
that's
of that?
That's my understanding, is they were not interested in rezoning at that time.
I was Bill, on actually. Both the planning board and the town council back then. The properties, when the first 10 parcels were done, those were owned by Inlet Harbor.
Okay.
The other two parcels were not, so they weren't done. But I thought was interesting is that the house on 4784 actually predates Ponce Inlet.
Oh, yeah.
And it was listed as conservation. The house was already on it. Why it wasn't listed at R1 back then?
Right. Well, and that was, I guess, my confusion and understanding. I knew that was part of the Inlet Harbor project, but did the owners at the time, did they have to apply along with Inlet Harbor, or they just chose not to apply?
My understanding is they did not care to be rezoned at the time that they were requested to be part of it.
If I can jump in, they weren't part of the application. You know, just because one property owner requests to be rezoned doesn't mean you have to ask all the other ones if they want to be rezoned. So
they could have participated
if they wanted to. But they weren't part of it. It was Inlet Harbor
was
came
going.
To us.
Yeah, that's where I was going.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bill, any questions? Gary.
No. this is one of these issues that over time made no sense whatsoever, and now it's going to make a lot of sense.
A lot of sense. Is there anyone in our audience here in response to the notice of this hearing who wished to speak? Okay. On either 9A or 9B. Okay. And for purposes of our record, I am going to acknowledge that the council members and, of course, our staff, we received a document that, for lack of something better, I will call it the next door. I don't really want to call it a petition, but that is what it is named. Okay? And if there are no questions, nobody else who wishes to speak, then what I will do is I will make the motion as to 9A, and that's the one with the house on it. The procedural requirements have been met with notice to ensure that the surrounding property owners were aware of this application, so they had the opportunity to attend and voice their concerns. And based upon the staff report, the testimony heard today, competent and substantial proof has been presented to us that real, fact-based, reasonable, reliable evidence that tend to prove that the criteria has been met with respect to LUDC 6.6.1D1-8, the criteria, and therefore I move to approve on first reading Ordinance 2025-04. Do I have a second?
Yes, second.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Mayor Goretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
And just to be clear, is there anybody here who wishes to address anything on the next agenda item, which was incorporated, 9B, Ordinance 2025-05? Is there anyone here who wishes to speak? Okay, seeing none, then I will make the motion on this one. The procedural requirements have been met with notice to ensure that the surrounding property owners were aware of this application so that they have the opportunity to attend and voice their concerns. And based upon the staff report, the testimony heard today, competent and substantial proof has been presented to us that real, fact-based, reasonable, reliable evidence that tends to prove that the criteria has been met with respect to LUDC 6.6.1D1-8 criteria, and therefore I move to approve on first reading Ordinance 2025-05.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Director. Thank you so much
thank
for
you,
your
Council.
Presentation. Okay, we are up to item 10, and that item 10, right? Yeah. Item 10, public hearing, non-quasi-judicial matters. A, this is Ordinance 2025-03 on second reading. Cliff, would you please read by title only?
Yes, Mayor. It's Ordinance 2025-03, read by title only, an ordinance of the Town Council of the Town of Ponsonant, Volusia County, Florida, amending Chapter 78, Article 2. Division 2 of the Code of Ordinances to authorize the administrative resolution of customer billing disputes up to certain maximum amount and to update the required inspection and testing period for backflow prevention devices to be consistent with the Florida Administrative Code, providing for conflicting ordinances, providing for codification, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you so much. Mike?
Yes, thank you. This is second reading of this ordinance as was discussed and presented last month. There have been no changes.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions this month on here?
No.
No. Anyone in the audience? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve Ordinance 2025-03, authorizing the administrative resolution of customer billing disputes and updating cross-connection control regulations.
On second reading.
Second
on second reading.
Thank you. We have a motion and a second. Okay, roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Agenda item 11A, we have a resolution 2025-04, update to fee schedule. Cliff, would you read the resolution by title only?
Resolution 2025-04 by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, amending portions of Appendix A, Fees, Rates, and Charges of the Town Code of Ordinances, Part 10, Water Service, providing for conflicting resolutions, providing for severability, and providing for an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yes, thank you. This resolution is the one that establishes that certain amount that was mentioned in the ordinance previously, and that is $300. So what this would do would basically allow staff to address issues, billing disputes up to that amount, but anything beyond that would have to go to town council. So this is now in our fee schedule.
Does anyone have any questions?
No.
Questions?
Just a statement.
Yes, go ahead. Yeah.
This all came about because of a couple that came to us complaining about the fact that we contacted a wrong phone number, so they never knew what was going on. During this entire process, we've talked about a limit and everything to make it easier for the public works and the water department and everything. But my concern is that we definitely make contact. When we read that meter, between the time the meter is read and the bill is hit, I think they said it was almost 3 weeks, and they didn't know it was gone, and they said they would immediately redo the repair if they had known about it, and we called the wrong number. Is there a way that we can say, it doesn't have to be written down, that we will definitely make contact after that meter is read if something is unusual? Because
yeah,
I know
we've taken some steps
when it happened in the Lighthouse Village, and our meter was, you know, five times the amount it was supposed to be. As soon as that meter was read, I got a public works. I was able to be contacted, and we were able to nip it in the bud that next day, where it would have been nipped in the bud for these people if the contact had actually been made.
Right.
That's my only concern, because this would not have come out or come about if it wasn't for that.
That's correct. Yeah, and we have taken steps internally to tighten that up.
Well, was it my understanding that they were not home during that period?
That's correct.
Okay, so it was, because I've had the same experience you did. My meter had a high reading. They were knocking on my door. And so I think that works reasonably well. We try everything that's reasonable to get those people. And this is just to take a small issue and get it.
It's cleaning up the entire process, exactly.
And thank you for that, Mike. I know that reasonable efforts are always made, and this is good. This helps the process, that's for sure. So there are no questions. Anyone in the audience have any questions? Okay. Motion, please.
I'll make a motion. I make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-04, establishing a maximum amount of $300 for the administrative resolution of utility customer bill disputes.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peretzky?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Item 11B, Resolution 2025-05. Cliff, could you read that by title only, please?
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2025-05 by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponce Inlet, Volusia County, Florida, authorizing a transfer of appropriations within the town's budget for fiscal year 2024-2025, providing for conflicts, providing for severability, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this is when we do this every year, this is an opportunity to look at unmet needs and unspent money and to reallocate those so that needs are met, and even account for some things that may not have been foreseen a year ago, but which this council wants to accomplish now. So you'll see there's a revised Exhibit A that was provided. that shows you the different transfers. And I'll just call out two of those. One, of course, is the new backhoe. That is something that this council has indicated is really important to get, and this resolution would make those funds available. The others we do have, you'll see there's the overtime for fire. There's a, that is a big item, and our Chief Scales has provided a memo that kind of explains that, why that is important. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions you have, and we have our staff here as well. Kim McCall and Jerry Hall, they can tell you the specifics about what's going where. They can give you those kind of details. And, of course, Chief Scales is here, and Director Wargo.
Thank you very much, Mike, and thank you for the work that went into this. We do it every year, but it's still work, so thank you. Questions? No. Yes.
Yes. Again, I have some questions and some points and then some comments. First, I'm full 100% behind the backhoe, and thank you for that. It came up at our budget meeting, and we've been talking about this now for about 4 months, so I think it's very important. It's essential to support our town residents. Some questions that I have, the police department, we're transferring $55,000 from the police department. Those funds, what were they originally dedicated for?
Let's see. Did you say the 50,000?
Yeah, it's 55,000. If you take, Michael, if you take the 30 for the salary, and then the retirement of 10, and I didn't, and then the health and insurance. Was that an extra police officer that we have not hired yet?
That would, yeah, that's vacant positions.
Okay.
That we're not.
Okay, and I'm just going to tick through here real quick, I promise, but I'm just trying to make sure I get it in my head. And again, we discussed overtime. Have a few questions on that for the fire department. Hurricane Milton, do we know the number of hours or the dollar amount that we spent for overtime for that event?
Jerry or Dan, do you have any information on that?
Okay, no, and that's fine. Well, okay, but I don't need the exact number, but it's more of a statement or question. Did we bill that? Was that eligible to be billed back to FEMA?
Yeah. Jerry, why don't...
Jerry, would you mind coming up here? Thank you. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council Members. Jerry Hall, Assistant Finance Director. The overtime hours we do get, if it's for, like, Dan, your exempt employees, we only get one times. But we don't pay him overtime. We just pay him regular hours. But
no, my question, though, for the fire department, and on there it stated one of Dan's statements, Hurricane Milton, it helped drive up the number of overtime for our firefighters. So the overtime that we had to pay our firefighters to be here for Milton
is reimbursable
so that
by
money
FEMA.
Did come back to us.
Yeah, well, it's in the process of coming back from FEMA.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so don't go anywhere. That answers that one. And then I understand we were down two firefighters for 5.5 months. Was that money also used that we saved, basically, from their salaries? Was that money applied to the overtime also that we currently have utilized? So, okay. I went through and did a, and I'm going to vote for this, but I just want everybody to do me a favor and listen real quick. I'm going somewhere with this. Overtime stats for the fire department, 22-23 was $94,000, 13.5%. I understand overtime is part of being a firefighter. There's no way around it. I've researched everything. They're always going to have some type of overtime. 23-24, $167,000, 22.5%. 24-25 projection. Now, my projection, I took the 130 that we had budgeted, I added the 70, I added 25 basically for the 2.5 months, two and a half months that we didn't have the firefighters, 5.5 months we didn't have the other firefighters. So that took it up to $225,000. And Michael, I agree it doesn't have an impact on this year's budget, but it will have an impact if we use running rate on next year's budget. So I want to make that statement. All that to get to this. Overtime will not correct itself. The Florida legislature fully supported the firefighters by examining how our firefighters are being worked. Three issues highlighted by the Florida legislature, House Bill 929, two are required. One is labeled encouraged. It encourages employees to implement work schedules that do not require a firefighter employee's normal schedule shift to exceed 72 hours per week. Why did Governor DeSantis sign this law? This law is aimed to protect the firefighters' physical and mental health. The requirements, again, the two items that are required, purchasing firefighter gear that does not contain chemicals, hazard, toxic substances when readily available. Second requirement, notify firefighters the gear that their gear may contain or be manufactured with chemical hazards or toxic substance. Encourages work schedule that does not exceed 42 hours. What is the rationale behind this law? I continue to research on. It's aimed at addressing firefighter fatigue and mental health. Since 2010, 2,000 firefighters have taken their lives, approximately 100 per year. I tried to look and see if I could find support from other fire chiefs or also any union presidents. I did. Fort Myers Fire Chief Tracy McMillan, who supplied the information I just supplied on the desk. We need firefighters to be in the right place when they go out to support our residents. Southeast Florida Professional Firefighter and Paramedics Union President Henry Garcia stated his support for this new law by stating 56 hours plus overtime weekly does not allow the proper work and life balance. My question today is, what are we going to do to review where we're currently at? I would like to recommend the council have a brief discussion and direct staff to take a look at how we operate our overtime and our shifts. There are several shifts that I've looked at, again, across the internet, and I do not see many out there that do not require some type of overtime. But lastly, the Fire Marshal's Division is now in charge of reviewing this law. They will be setting the rules. Doesn't say they'll be setting the rules for establishing the work schedule, but it does plainly state they'll be setting the rules. As a council and staff, we always state we want to enhance the quality of life for our residents. This might be an opportunity to enhance the quality of life for both our residents and our firefighters. Thank you.
Thank you, Skip. Before we open that up for discussion, I do have a question for our attorney. Our firefighters belong to a union.
Mm-hmm.
Any conversations that we may have with respect to what Councilmember White is suggesting, does the members have the opportunity sitting in the public to listen? Should we not be talking about these things? Should they not be talking about these things?
Well, let me make some inquiries. It's my understanding that after a long, long time and trying, we finally have a contract, yes?
That's correct. So we have a contract that I believe we all just ratified.
So we're not currently in collective bargaining. That would be a concern.
Well, is that Mike?
We just started.
They just started.
Wages only. It's limited to wages only.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the answer is, first of all, you all can discuss in the context of your meeting any of the things that you're discussing that are not at the bargaining table.
Okay.
If it's on the edges of or close to, then you could be hit with a charge of unfair labor practice, which is what you want to avoid like the plague.
Right.
However, on the other side of it, even though it sort of works both ways, you would expect the management representatives of the firefighters, which would be the chief and or whoever else might be qualified as management, to be able to at least have discussions with you, because they are supposed to be on the same team, but they also would have more of a finger on the pulse, in theory, of what the union members would like to see. So that's a discussion that could be had because they are not in the class that would be protected, i.e. the union members, if you understand.
Okay. Having said all that, would it be appropriate? I would like to hear from our fire chief, and I'm not quite sure what the question would be to you, Chief, but is this the first time you're being made aware of this statute and also the desire on the part of a council member perhaps to bring this forward?
No. We've had some discussions in the background on this recently, and okay. As far as the statute, I actually just talked to our labor attorney yesterday about that.
Okay.
So, and to answer your question, and I guess to put a finer point on this, I absolutely appreciate where Councilmember White is coming from as far as overtime and scheduling, and we are at your disposal to look at that and see what we can do and what options are available to us to mitigate both of those going forward.
Well, if we believe that we would not be subjected to, you know, a charge of unfair labor practice, it's always a good idea for us to look into something that could be beneficial to our firefighters and to the residents. That's the way I see this. But, Cliff, I want to be very careful with this, and I don't know how to be careful with it. I would defer to you because, Skip, first,
yeah,
thank you.
Yeah, and Mayor, I do have one comment, and yeah. I'm with you, and I thought through that point of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go look at our agreement right now, Article 7, Management Rights,
yeah.
I went through and highlighted everything that technically allows us to have discussion. All we have to do is, before we make any changes, and Dan, correct me if I'm mm-hmm. wrong here, but we have to submit a proposal 10 days before. So I don't understand why we, as a council, we could not direct Dan and staff to say, hey, let's look at some options. There might not be anything out there, but it would make me sleep better at night knowing that our residents and our firefighters are protected from their stress of all the overtime that we're continuing, and it's not turning. The curve continues to go up. Understand the reasons.
Sure.
But it's not going to fix itself. I'm just saying, do we have options that we possibly could do that would help everyone?
Mm-hmm. I think it's wonderful that you brought it up. I just want to make sure that we do it within a framework,
understand.
That we don't have any issues with the union. Or any concerns? Were you going to say something, Chief?
Yeah. Any discussions that we have at our level?
What's our level?
At management level.
Just management
level.
Okay.
Any changes that would be recommended, that would be suggested, have to be impact bargained. And that's part of the management rights clause of our contract. So having the discussions right now, conceptually, are one thing. Implementing what we come up with is a different discussion,
right.
And we're not there yet.
No.
But having that discussion,
and
yes.
And when you say having the discussion, would that include, in your opinion, a discussion item on our agenda?
It could. I think I know what you're looking for, but that's your call.
Well, I guess what
that.
Cliff?
Yes. The answer is, I believe you can,
mm-hmm.
But the best thing I can believe
yep.
is that since it wouldn't be on this agenda, but a future agenda, a phone call to Jeff Mandel is worth $1,000.
Then what I would suggest, Skip, thank you for bringing it up. What we're going to do is reach out to our labor attorney and find out how and if so, to what extent we can put a discussion item on. And any parameters that he sets is what we will do. But I think it's a very healthy and helpful discussion.
Sure.
Councilmember White, thank you. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you,
Cliff. Does that sound like a good resolution to everybody? Okay. Now.
Thank you.
Thank you. We always want to improve if we can. Okay, so the resolution itself, 2025-05, are there any other questions of council with respect to
No.
the actual item? Anyone in the audience have any questions? Okay, then I will entertain a motion, please.
I'll make a motion. Make a motion to approve resolution 2025-05 as presented.
Second.
A motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Okay, resolution 2025-06. This is agenda item 11C, amending board appointment procedures, and it's two parts. Cliff, could you please read the resolution by title only?
Yes, Mayor. Resolution 2025-06, read by title only, a resolution of the Town Council of the Town of Ponsinlet, Volusia County, Florida, amending Resolution 2018-03 regarding applicant requirements and Town Council procedure for appointment of board members, providing for conflicting resolutions, providing for severability, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. Mike?
All right. Kim Trebano will present this item.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Before you are the proposed updates to the appointment procedures, application forms, and the bylaws that were presented at the last council meeting on May 15th, where council provided a consensus for staff to proceed with the proposed updates and bring them back for a final proposal. For a little bit of a summary, is Resolution 2025-06 presents modifications to the appointment procedures, incorporating the proposed changes to the application and the bylaws for each board in accordance with the resolution. In addition to these changes, the Cultural Service Board meeting time has been changed from 5:30 p.m. to 10 a.m. This amendment came by an unanimous consensus of the board. And with that, staff recommends approval.
Thank you so much. It's very well written, and it needed the tweaking. So thank you so much. Any questions? No. Any questions of anybody in the audience? Okay, seeing none, a motion, please.
I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 2025-06, the updated board application forms and updated board bylaws as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Okay, now we are old business. We have the interlocal agreement between the town and Volusia County for storm debris management. And if you will recall, this was a tabled item, and I'm going to first make a motion to untable it. I move to untable agenda item 12A and have it heard today.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, we can move forward. And is that you, Chief? Thank you.
It is. Good afternoon again. This is really an update to the item from last month. Councilmember White brought up some really good points as far as how this agreement would work. And I have provided that information to you in the staff report. Basically, the county said they will take care of the Beach Street ramp. It's not our problem. It's their problem. And we will not be reimbursed from Volusia County for any debris pickup on Atlantic if we do it. We're on the hook for it. So that is the answers to the questions.
Any questions of the chief?
No.
Well, and that is replaced by the FEMA reimbursement. It'll just take us a lot longer to get it.
And we may not get all of it back, but we'll get hopefully most of it back. The other thing I want to just kind of put out there is we dealt with some issues on Atlantic as far as traffic access, especially when that debris was stuck on the road in Wilbur. Part of the focus on this, and I didn't really bring this up last month, I want to qualify this, was some of the things that we dealt with after Ian and storms before that were delayed pickup on Atlantic. We were actually getting our debris picked up quicker in town than the county was on Atlantic. And quite honestly, we were feeling phone calls from people on Atlantic like, when are you coming to get our stuff? And it was difficult to say, well, that's not us, that's the county. This kind of helps clean that up as well. It helps coordinate all the dairy pickup at the same time. So that's another bonus.
Are we moving north of our north line and into Wilbur if we have to?
No.
So if county doesn't get to Wilbur, what we do is slightly helpful, but it doesn't open Atlantic Boulevard.
Correct.
Yeah, we can drive around in circles.
Yes.
I only have
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I only have one concern. With everything that's going on now with FEMA, I'd like the council to consider this. Over the years, because of hurricanes, storms, whatever the case may be, going back to the rollback rate, we went from almost 9 months, which is the actual maximum that we were allowed to have in reserve, down to 4 or 5 months. I think we've worked it back up to 7 months. I would like the town, when it gets together and starts doing new things, we don't know what's going to happen with FEMA. We don't know how our reversions are going to be. I would like to look at when we're doing the budget as a possible way of increasing that reserve back up to the maximum, if it's at all possible. Because if we don't get the money back, it's got to come from someplace.
Yeah.
And the only place it's going to come from is the reserve. Just a thought. I was thinking about it, and I remember what we went through when we dropped it so far down, when especially during the time when we were going through the recession back in the 2008 time, and that council was able to build it up and made it a point of trying to do it with the management, and I'd like to see that to happen again. Just a thought.
Thank you, Bill. It's a good thought. Thank you so much. Any other questions? Anyone in the public have any questions? Okay, seeing none, we have a motion.
I'll make a motion to approve the interlocal agreement as presented and authorize the mayor and town manager to execute the agreement.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Villanella?
Yes.
Councilmember Milano?
Yes.
Mayor Peritsky?
Yes.
Councilmember White?
Oh, Councilmember White?
Councilmember White?
What? I'm thinking. Yes, with an asterisk. I'm kidding.
No asterisks.
I'm kidding. Yes.
Vice Mayor Smith.
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you. Pressure. We are now up to 13A, new business, award a bid for the Ponce Inlet Adaptation Plan. Mike?
Yeah, our principal planner, Patty Rippey, is going to present this one.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Council. Staff is requesting your approval of the award of bid for the Ponce Inlet Adaptation Plan to Brizaga Incorporated. A representative from Brizaga is here today to answer any questions you may have of them specifically. As you know, a vulnerability assessment and watershed master plan have been completed prior to this next phase of resiliency planning. For clarification, a vulnerability assessment evaluates exposure and sensitivity of neighborhoods, roads, and public facilities most at risk from future sea level rise and stronger hurricanes. A watershed master plan utilizes stormwater models to analyze flow patterns and drainage bottlenecks. The modeling outcomes set the foundation for managing the watershed by improving water flow and reducing flooding. An adaptation plan builds upon the foundation of the vulnerability assessment and watershed master plan to address specific challenges posed by climate change and other changing conditions. The adaptation plan will create a roadmap to increase community resilience over the next 10 to 30 years. Brizaga Incorporated responded to RFQ 2025-04 on April 29th. The company is a fully licensed and insured civil engineering firm with locations in Florida, New York, and New Jersey. Brizaga worked as a sub-consultant to Collective Water Resources during the Vulnerability Assessment and Watershed Master Plan project. They understand the challenges facing Ponce Inlet and will be able to incorporate that knowledge into the adaptation plan. Staff recommends that the Town Council award the bid to Brizaga Incorporated to complete the adaptation plan based upon their experience and expertise as described in the proposal submitted in April.
Thank you so much for this, and I just have to say how excited I am about this because we've worked so hard to get to this point. And I also have to point out, I know we have in our audience here somebody who I have known for years, Dr. Alec Bogdanoff. We worked together at the American Flood Coalition when our town of Ponce Inlet joined several years ago. Alec was wonderful, and he really helped us. He helped the town, and he helped me. I just can't say enough, and I'm so delighted that it's the people who are familiar with us. So thank you. Now, I do not have any questions at the moment. I'll open it up. Are there any questions here?
None.
Okay. No questions. Sorry, gentlemen. Are there any questions in the audience for what it is we're doing or anything along those lines? This adaptation plan is just a big step forward for the town of Ponce Inlet in our quest for resilience. So, gentlemen, is there anything either one of you wish to say, or it seems as though maybe nothing needs to be said? Are you good? Anything you want to share? Okay. That being the case, then... do we have a motion on...
Oh, excuse me, Mayor?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I apologize, Mike. You want to say something?
It wasn't working.
What's your name?
What was that?
I'm very sorry. No, I just wanted to add, this is another item that is done at no cost to taxpayers. We have received a $50,000 grant from the state of Florida for this. We've been waiting to do this until our other plans are complete, but now we're ready to go.
It's very exciting, yes. This was one of our grants that we received a bit ago, And I do want to point something out. This council has really worked so hard to make sure that we built a foundation. There's very little you can do for grant applications, even appropriation requests when it comes to resilience if you didn't do a vulnerability assessment. We were so early on. We were the first one I know in Volusia County to do a vulnerability assessment, and everything has built upon that. So, you know, I thank our planning department, and Mike, you helped facilitate a lot as the director there, and now our current director and all the people who work there. So, anything else? No? Okay. Motion, please.
I'll make a motion to award the RFQ number 2025-04 to Brizaga Incorporated for the Ponce Inlet Adaptation Plan.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion unanimously passes. The award has been made. We're very, very excited and looking forward to working with you as part of our team here. So thank you so much, and thank you for sitting through our council meeting. And it's good seeing you again, Alec. Okay, so thank you. And now we are ready to move on to 13B, a request to purchase the backhoe loader. And we have Steve Wargo with us. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Good afternoon. I am happy to be standing here asking permission to purchase a brand new backhoe for Public Works. Our current backhoe is 20 years old, and it is a very important piece of equipment for Public Works. It helps us with stormwater. It helps us with our water projects. It helps with a lot of things, but one of the biggest things is after Milton, we used it quite a bit to help clean up the streets so that people could pass through in a timely manner. It's fallen apart, sorry to say, but it still runs a little bit. Just in the time that I've been here, we've spent about $6,000 repairing it. And the last repair, they had to pull parts from old used machines all over the state of Florida and some from Georgia in order to get ours put back together. Working on that, I really want to thank the council for the first budgetary meeting really pushing so that we could find the money to get this. And with the help of Mr. Mike and Mr. Dan and Ms. Kim and Ms. Jerry, we found the money to be able to purchase it. I was able to look through the Sheriff's Association contracts, different state contracts, and I came across Sourcewell. The Sourcewell contract is a big contract that covers several states, and we're part of the Sourcewell contract. And Briggs Company out of Orlando has JCB tractors and backhoes. And after talking with them, and as you can see, the quote is in there, and the contract, the Sourcewell contract, which, the Sourcewell contract, the average is 5 to 8% savings off of original price. The other part of the contract is that price includes delivery and a one-hour training for me and my crew on exactly how to use, properly use that piece of equipment when it gets here. And as you can see, we got a nice savings, over $19,000 off the original price through the Sourcewell. It also comes with a two-year guarantee where anything breaks, they come and they fix it. And we don't have to take it to them. They come and they fix it. The biggest part of this is after going through the Sheriff's Association contracts and talking to those different vendors, everything was going to take us 12 to 14 weeks before we got the backhoe if we ordered through them. Going through Briggs and JCB, the tractor's waiting right now. The backhoe is waiting, and as soon as we pull the trigger and get them their PO, it'll be here in 2 weeks or less. So, yes.
I thank you. I've been listening to the need for the backhoe for quite a while when you presented at the Essential Services, and so yes. I thank you for making it this far with us. So were you done? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was just going to recommend that, we pay the $122,000 and get this new tractor, and it should be here, by the end of the month, beginning first week in July at the latest.
And I just have a preliminary question. Has the contract been reviewed? You have not? It is not. Has it been reviewed by the firm? Any?
Not no. Mike, do you? I don't think so. But if it's in someone else,
Are you talking about the Sourcewell contract?
Yes.
The Sourcewell contract?
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll send it to you.
I'll look at it. I haven't seen it, and I don't think anybody in my office has seen it.
What I would suggest is that I know we want to move on this, but and if we do move on it, I would like it contingent upon the review of our attorney as to its form and content so that it does what it is that we hope it does. But having said that, let me open it up. Any questions? Yeah, Skip?
Happy, extremely happy. Does this have all the attachments that you need currently? I know there's all kinds of attachments for backhoes and tractors.
Yes.
But with everything that this will accomplish what we need currently.
Yes, this will accomplish what we need.
And the last statement I want to make is I want to see how many people fight to operate this thing since it has AC in it.
Yeah, it is an enclosed. Something that I noticed that I worked for to get this was during Milton when we were out there right that next morning. And we had that backhoe out there, and we're trying to clear stuff, and it's still raining, and it's still windy. And, the safety issues that I had, then I kept pulling the drivers off of it because all the wind and rain coming right in their faces, and they're trying to operate that large piece of equipment. So that's why I really looked at getting an enclosed cab. So that when in the wind and the rain, it'll hit that windshield and they'll still have a clear view of what's going on outside.
Yes.
Anything else? Joe, anything? Bill?
Oh, Doug? I agree with everything he just said. I've seen this in action.
Yeah. Gary?
Let's buy it.
Okay, well, and will there be a problem with its that it'll be available to us if the contract gets reviewed? Is there any time period? Do they have more than one? I mean, do you know anything along that?
Actually, talking to the salesperson that I've been talking to, he has that tractor on hold right now.
For us.
They're actually preparing it to ship.
Okay.
As soon
Hang
as we
on
give
one
them
sec.
The okay.
Without pushing the law firm and our attorney, what is a reasonable amount of time that you need in order to review this?
The good news for me is I'm leaving town, but I have people.
You have people.
We can get it back next week.
Okay. How long? What?
Next week.
Okay.
Probably Tuesday, if not Monday.
Tuesday. And we're not looking, I don't we're not planning on looking at the contract for purposes of renegotiating the price or anything like that. It's just we don't want surprises, and that's what they'll tell us. Is that a fair statement, Cliff? Yeah.
And I went through, and I read it real good, too.
And you felt comfortable with it.
Yes.
So we'll get the legal stamp of approval, hopefully, on it by Tuesday, and hopefully by Tuesday. Is everybody comfortable with that?
Yep.
Sure. Okay. So